Hey there, powerful kings from around the planet. You're very welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where every single thing we do, we express, we explain, it all points to putting you in the driving seat as the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. And today's episode is absolutely no different. A very quick note, side note, I'm bringing you all along the journey. This is like a collective movement of amazing human beings come together to do something really special along our movement's mantra, you know, better husbands today equals a better world tomorrow. And it's another celebration point, key points in the beginning, but we've broken through the 500 listeners barrier in 1 week. We like there of this morning, there's 540 listeners in the last 7 days. It's amazing. My goal for this year, about 3 months ago, you know, for the end of this year, 2023, was to have 1,000 listeners per week. I'm quite sure we're going to be collectively doing that with new people coming on every single week. We're going to hit that goal well, like way before time. So thank you, thank you, thank you. My depth of bows and appreciation for your part in this. Now, let's jump into today's episode. And, you know, it's quite a statement to go, hey, this is the number one greatest obstacle to creating a happy and fulfilling marriage for men. It's the topic of today is like, what is that number one greatest obstacle? First of all, like, you know, the context is every husband on the planet has a deep, deep desire to feel amazing connection and attraction with his woman. Every man in the arena of marriage desires in a profound, profound way. Sometimes it's so deep down that the superficial, there can be superficial sort of like ignorance or superficial closure, or you keep distance from intimacy. And, you know, but deep down, if you're in marriage and you're a guy, you want to feel that love. You want to have a happy, you know, successful and fulfilling marriage. There's not one guy I've met that this is not true for. The odd, you know, there's a certain portion where, you know, just the fear of doing any emotional work and opening up and the vulnerability and, you know, early child trauma can be so sort of seemingly recalcitrant at the surface that it seems that it's not there at all. But it's true for everybody. It is true. The funny thing is the greatest obstacle to creating a beautiful, successful, happy, fulfilling marriage that is based on, you know, self-rejuvenating connection and deep attraction long term, the number one greatest obstacle is not the marriage itself. It's not your wife. It's not her wounds. The number one greatest obstacle is not your wounds. You know, you might be acutely aware of certain wounds you have emotionally and might be trauma from your childhood. Maybe there was complicated situations in your childhood with your parents, step-parents, etc., etc., that, you know, brings up a lot of stuff. That's not the number one greatest obstacle. The number one greatest obstacle is not the overwhelming demands placed on modern men to play the domestic role to a very high level like never before in generations gone by. And, you know, just meet all these incredible demands of modern life. None of those are the number one greatest obstacles. Obstacle. It's, they're important, but it's not the number one. The number one greatest obstacle holding modern men back from showing up as powerful, amazing, proud, high-performing husbands that can lead their family with open-heartedness and with confidence and, you know, with presence, etc. The number one obstacle to that is pretending we can lone wolf this journey without support. That's it. In my experience, personally, firsthand, and now tapping in and speaking with, you know, tens and hundreds and more guys around the planet in deep, intimate relationship, in the arena of marriage, the number one obstacle is pretending that we can lone wolf it and somehow get away with it. There's the quite famous quote from Einstein: insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. Well, if you look at it, in marriage, predominantly, you know, 99.9% of the time, you know, when we lone wolf, that is what we're doing. You know, your intentions are not in question here. Deep down, and maybe not so deep down, every single one of you powerful, amazing men listening in have good intentions. I mean, if you're listening into this podcast, you have definite, conscious, good intentions. You know, the good intentions are there in every husband. They can be really so deep down that you, like, it's behind so much stuff. But you guys listening in, there's a clear surface level intention. Your heart is in the right place. Yet, good intentions alone are pretty fucking useless in creating a beautiful marriage. Because good intentions alone, mixed with this lone wolf mentality where, you know, you just repeatedly do the same thing over and over again. You know, well, it hasn't been working in the first 5 years of marriage, so I'm just going to double down in my same strategic way of going at deep intimacy, at my same strategic way, which is not so strategic, but the same strategies that I learned from childhood and I haven't really questioned, I haven't got support and I haven't learned, you know, any new ways of going at it. I'm just going to quadruple down and going to magnify and going to do more of it with some, you know, insane expectation that it'll just work in the end. It'll just, you know, if I put in enough effort doing the same thing, the same pattern, the same way of communicating, the same way of, you know, navigating conflict, the same way of what I do in the bedroom, you know, someday my wife will just see how good I am and she'll finally just get me. She'll finally just give me like the gold star, you know, in primary school or, you know, like your younger days, the teacher gives you the gold star for the top student because you worked hard enough. It falls flat on its face ultimately. Again, when I use, you know, real black and white, just language on it, when it falls flat in his face, it's not that you fall flat in your face, that you're inadequate. It's not a pointing out. I myself, I put my hand up. You know, this is why more and more people are listening in, because there's the safety. I'm not a fucking, like, I'm not an expert. I don't have, like, a degree behind me. I don't have, like, oh, I did 5 years in Harvard in, like, whatever relationship course, and this is, like, the top 10 things. And it's like, no shagging way. I was falling flat in my face with good intentions, like all of you, with great intentions to love my woman and to communicate to my best and to show up in the bedroom, you know, to the best that I could, etc., to be the best dad, to fucking carve out some life or career and money and, you know, like form some vision as a family together, like with great intentions. Ultimately, you know, we need, it's really important, there's a soft feminine needs to just slow down and, you know, honor where you're at, but then there's the black and white needs to just call bullshit on where you're not at, you know, just like stop pretending. The same shit, different day way, you know, that we go at things with, like, multiplying and intensifying our good intentions. You know, it just remains that our wives, they have sacred needs that remain unmet. So quadrupling down on ways and approaches in marriage that aren't meeting the needs, quadrupling those approaches will not meet the needs. That's it. And this is key. This is why I say the number one obstacle to all of you guys, myself, you know, our number one inner obstacle is this tendency to lone wolf. It's this tendency to, I'll go it alone, I'll figure my shit out. Very important from a human perspective. Again, there's this soft perspective. It's like, why? Why is it that we so insanely, like the Einstein quote, you know, we're so insane doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. Why do we do that? Why do we have such a deep, conditioned hesitancy to reach out for support? I've covered this before. I'll just, we'll nod and we'll bow to it. But, you know, in the shortness and in the brevity of me mentioning it here, I don't want to understate. It's very easy to underestimate the massive role this has had in the modern psyche of men and how we show up in relationships. There's the Industrial Revolution and the World Wars. And they've had such a massive impact on the psyche of the modern men that generations afterwards were still, you know, trying to clean up the traumatic effect that has had in the male psyche. And in general, what men learned back then was like the men that were of use to society, the men that were admired, that got through those intense periods of human history, they learned that, you know, the badge of honor as a man, the real man, learned to put up, shut up, and work harder. Because if you think about it emotionally, what men went through in the Industrial Revolution, working down in coal mines, in factories, in inhumane work conditions, etc., etc. Like, if you complained, if you went against the system, you were bet, you were fired. Being fired meant, you know, your family went from already being in poverty to having no money at all, being kicked out in the street. I mean, it meant debt going against the system. So, you know, men learned to be rugged, stoic, emotionless beings that just did it. You know, we found value. Our value were being productive members of an economy, being productive members of the workforce. And, you know, earn your bit of money, get your pay slip on a Friday, come back home, and that was it. You had spent so much of your energy in those efforts that was that. You came home. The woman ran the home. You provided. That's it. But emotionally, we put up and shut up, and we suppress our emotions down. And as I say, you know, in the World War, I mean, that was very clear. I mean, you just had to. You were literally forced to enlist in the cultures that were doing that. No right or wrong here. Like, it's not to demonize war, demonize Industrial Revolution, demonize anything. It's like, it's just stating, like, well, this is matter of factly. There's traumatic mechanisms and psychological shifts that have happened for generations. So the put up, shut up, and work harder type mentality, like, complaining equals failure as a man. If you were the man that complained, you know, you were seen as weak. And your complaints as part of the team in the army or in the workforce, in the mines, the wrath was brought upon all of the team. It's like, how dare one of you complain about the money? How dare one of you complain about the, you know, it was used against us. So, you know, we learned that complaining is massive weakness as a man. And complaining means that you can become immediately alienated from your brotherhoods, from other men around you. So again, this got so etched into our psyche. Now, I'll leave it at there for it, but it's just to remember the human nature, the trauma-informed, you know, there's intergenerational trauma, traumatic patterns that we have inherited, and they really impact how we go at life, and definitely in marriage. As a result of this, getting up to speed, you know, this lone wolf mentality that we bring, the external challenge for us in this is, you know, you see smiling, happy family facades in your married friends. And this magnifies the inner world shame that we end up feeling, because it's like, wow. Of course, you're deeply aware of the unique shit heap that your marriage might be in emotionally, psychologically, sexually. There might be any attraction. It could be super dramatic, or it could be like just there's just not much connection. It's just gone very stagnant. It mightn't seem very dramatic, but it's the stagnancy. It's just like it just seems so empty. And you're so aware of that going on in your inside and, you know, how that shows up with your wife, that the smiling, happy family facade that, you know, other people in the world put out, the contrast is suffocating. And there's a loneliness. As men, there's this loneliness where it's like, wow, you know, am I the only guy that's like screwing up in this? Am I the only guy from my bunch of mates in my neighborhood and my work colleagues, am I the only guy that's going through this? Like, man, she's, you know, you don't know. Like, you become more and more alienated. It's like you're not talking together much. You're not making love in a long while. You know, when you do make love, it's empty. It's just, it's not very nice. Your wife like just rolls off and says, oh, it's like, you know, it's like, it's just, it's getting worse and worse. And the pain and the loneliness is the thing that breeds a massive heap of inner shame. And yet, this is like a topic for another day, but here's the psychology of it. The amazing thing that we don't get in all this lone wolfing is the majority of people in your community are having their own secret battle in intimacy, their own secret battle in relating and conversing with each other. They're, you know, it's the minority, like it's the tiny minority of couples out there that have, you know, really are really, you know, nearing in on their full potential for having an amazing relationship. It's like very, it's exquisitely small, that amount. The vast majority are, yeah, just chugging along and not knowing because nobody got the training. So it's just, it's another sort of a part. I you know, to come from that alienated lone wolf perspective to go, you know, if you're in my perspective, having had years now of deep men's work and in circles with men and, you know, one-on-one coaching, etc., I hear what's actually going on beyond the public face facade. More and more I hear it like in you know, random conversations that I have with guys. It's not just within coaching and that. You know, when you open up radically honestly as a man, the way I speak in the podcast here, you know, within reason, I will open up quite quickly. You know, if I meet a guy in the street and we just happen to be sitting together at like a bus stop or whatever, you know, I will go there. It's astounding. It was astounding for me in the beginning to realize how many men are feeling the pressure of this in their own inner private world, secret places, you know, in their own minds, so, so lonely, just struggling in marriage. And for me, personally, and this is what drives me in, you know, just every single week, you know, studying and researching, not just for myself, of course, you know, I'm in the octagon of marriage myself. I have a massive need to study it for my own personal needs. But just the movement here, Be the Husband She Brags About, in my work, I just find that it's plain wrong that so many husbands are experiencing this suffocating loneliness, you know, and just going with a lone wolf, you know, I just keep doing the same thing with great intentions, but not getting the results that you want. And ultimately, the greatest tragedy of all of this is all the way along when you're lone wolfing, you're risking divorce. You're risking, and maybe even the second one is even worse, you're risking just being loyal to each other, but living together unhappily ever after. And the ultimate thing that I find the tragedy in all of this is, without the support, when you go lone wolfing, so often men end up feeling that divorce is the only way out. There's almost a point where we're like, I've met guys where it's like, they're almost glad that their wives ended it. It's like, sort of, thank God, the prison of marriage. But it's not the prison of marriage. That's words guys use. It's like, oh man, the prison of marriage. I had to get out. I just didn't know how to do it. It's not the prison of marriage. This is what this episode is all about. The prison is the habit of lone wolfing and refusing to seek direct support. I really want you all to get this into your nervous systems, into your minds. And I bow and I honor and I get the sociological reasons why such a trait was sort of engendered, and we were indoctrinated into this way of believing and navigating the world. I get it. And I get that you probably have had hundreds of experiences as a young boy in early adulthood where it's like, man, when you reach support and you express your emotions and you express weakness, and, you know, the boys at school, the boys in the football team, your football coach, your dad, your stepdad, probably, you know, emotionally spat down on you, looked down on you, like criticized you. I get it. So you've learned that lone wolfing is the standard norm and you're going with that, you know, in adult life. That's the one strategy. I won't suffer, you know, social debt. I get it. I get it. I had that myself. I really get it so much. Personally speaking, and I in coaching guys around the world, I get this, you know, diversion that I get. I can coach guys powerfully because I get it so much, but I'm hearing the same from guys around the world. You know, one of my things was like, I was the worst moments, my darkest times in the last like 15 years of my life, the darkest times, like the real dark night of the soul shit, where I did not know how I was psychologically and energetically going to fucking make it through for another day, all revolved around fearing I'd lose my family, fearing, you know, my marriage was just going to end and what that meant for me, feeling like I had zero control over the situation. It just was getting worse and worse, and it's like, no matter how much my good intentions were in there, how much my efforts, how much I quadrupled down, it's like it just was slipping beyond my grasp of having any control anymore, and magnified by feeling such a shame that I just can't talk to anybody about it. You know, holding my hand up and going into society and saying, hey, you know, hey world, my marriage is on the rocks. Hey world, you know, we just about make love once a month, and to be honest, it's the worst feeling muck possible. We do it because it's a chore. We do it because we, you know, we get so rancid when we don't that we just do it once a month. Funnily enough, I didn't feel like I could go into my bunch of mates in jiu-jitsu or the five-a-side soccer team, you know, with family members, with brothers, with, you know, I didn't feel I could do that. And that was so alienating. It was the alienating feeling of not knowing that there was a support there, not knowing where there was a safe support if it did exist. I just didn't know it existed, actually. And that was so, so excruciating, emotionally speaking. Now, what I also know is I walked over a bridge at some point. I've shared it with you guys. The guys that come on to be coached by me one-to-one, you know, they overcome the same bridge. The bridge I overcame was, you know, breakdown, breakthrough moment in marriage, as I've said to you before. It was by pure necessity. It was like, okay, I'm either going to lose all of this or change my ways. And I like quadrupled down, but not doing the same thing. I quadrupled down and finding new information, you know, listening to audio recordings of amazing teachers in intimacy. I eventually found Deep Men's work, you know, listening to podcasts. I skirted around it. It was sort of lone wolf in the beginning. As I say, it was podcasts and books, but they were finally on the topic of intimacy. They were finally on the topic of, you know, relationship, communication, sex, etc. I was finally on the right topic. But I was hedging, I was sort of holding back from like getting direct coaching on it. And eventually the opportunity came up. I remember at the time there was quite a financial outlay. Like I've told you before, like we've 8 horses, etc., etc., etc. You know, my financial wounds. It was, I think at the time, was it 7,000? I think it was 7,000 euro. My initial response was like, fuck me, I can't have that. I don't have that cash. But the more I leaned in, I was like, wow, you know, ultimately, marriage going the way it is. This course was a masculine coaching course, but it was all based on deep inner work. It wasn't just like, you know, epoxy, superficial. We'll teach you the 10 steps how to coach somebody. There's weekend courses out for this shit. It was based so much on deep inner work, trauma release, shadow work, etc., that it was like, wow, this is what I need. This is what will transform everything. So, cut a long story short, in the end, I just realized, man, I need to do this. This is the safe space. This is the support I need. I've been lone wolfing. It's not working. So, you know, these men that were running the course, I was like, they've went, they're the lead learners here. They have went in the inner world journeying that, you know, they can lead me there. And when I sought that support, I made it financially happen. I got super creative. It's amazing. Necessity as an impulse, you know, fear / necessity. It was like fear of losing my wife, fear of losing my kids, fear of divorce, of separation, of the house we had together. It's like it's 13 years at that point, 12 and a half years living together. It's like it's quite an intricate, beautiful life that we had together. But you know, that I didn't want to get rid of that. So it's amazing what necessity will bring a man to do, and the courage that you have from there. But it changed everything. Seeking support from men and getting, you know, into deep spaces with other men. It's the number one life shift of my entire life that I have experienced. I can't tell you, I can't describe, I could speak for another like 2 hours just on that topic of how transforming that was in my inner world paradigm. In all of this, you know, the perspective from a marriage, from a marital perspective, I remember having an experience with my brother. My brother had got his small private pilot's license for small aircraft, whatever the technical name was. And I still remember going for the first flight with him. It was like super cool. I'd never been in a small light aircraft like that. This one was quite a new one. So like getting in and, you know, just seeing the dashboard in the cockpit and all of these dials and gauges and like the controls. And then I put the headset on and like speaking to him and this cool headset. I was thinking like, I was feeling like what they call like Tom Cruise's character in Top Gun. It was like all the shit. And it was cool. So it was like just cool being in this machine, you know, designed to bring man into flight, into weather and navigate, you know, whatever the conditions were in nighttime and in daytime. It was an amazing machine. So there was this part of it that was cool. Now, if you put yourself into that situation, I think most guys, you know, were sort of mechanically minded and like in this cool machine. You know, if you're not a pilot, there's a lot of our masculine soul will be like, it's just cool, you know, having this powerful machine that we can go and have this incredible liberating experience. But here's the thing. Consider you're there on the ground and, you know, if I went up flying with my brother, it was a two-seater aircraft, and I'm there and I'm like, I'm feeling like, you know, there again, what the fuck, Tom Cruise's character, you all know, I forget the dude's name in the film, but I'm feeling like a Top Gun. I'm like, I'm fucking there, headset on, look at me, like I'm looking out, the propeller's going, speaking with my brother, and then my brother's like, just has a heart attack, he dies all of a sudden, like, don't wish this, it's like, Jesus. But let's say the pilot, it's not my brother, the pilot, he's gone. All of a sudden, it's not so cool anymore. There's a golden thread here. Hang in with me. This is metaphorical. It's not cool anymore. Because no matter how cool the potential of that experience seems, not having the skill set to be a pilot, to bring that airplane into landing safely, to keep going on that journey, I mean, it goes from being a cool idea to being catastrophic. Now, all of you listening in are like, you know, if you were in that situation, it's almost like nonsensical. It's like you'd never fly a plane. And of course, it's an extreme example. It's like, man, the pilot you go up with, he dies. It's like, what's the likelihood of it? But you definitely would never, you know, bring it back to a more sort of grounded experience. You know, no matter how cool it seemed on the ground, if the flight instructor or the person that had the plane suddenly went to you, it's like, man, it is cool. There's no feeling like it. Hey, just bomb down the runway, push the lever forward. That's it. You accelerate, gives you juice. And then just when you're about to take off, just pull back on the little control thing and you'll take off. Not one of you would do that because it would be pure insanity. True story, yeah? It'd be total ridiculous. It would be ridiculous. It would be kamikaze. It would be suicidal. It would be indicative of you having psychological problems to, like, yeah, just like incurable psychological problems if you thought that was a good idea. Bombing off down a runway, somehow just leaning back, you take flight and you have no skills to land it, to fly it, to do anything with it. Everybody listening in, my expectation, my hope for you, for the world, is that you get that that would be quite grade A stupid. Okay, assuming we're all on the one hymn sheet on this metaphorical journey I'm taking you on, this story, here's the flick in it all. The curveball is, that is what 99.9% of husbands have done in marriage. What I mean by that is, our whole masculine core loves the idea of marriage, loves the idea of, hey, it's our sweetheart, it's the love of our life, you know, connecting with her, the whole idea of living happily ever after, the whole idea of, man, you know, it's like, was turned on by her in the beginning, and like, man, you know, the idea of like, wow, the woman I love, she's sexy, she's hot, she's beautiful, I get to make love with her, you know, forevermore. We like the idea, like having kids together, our family home together, creating a life together and living happily ever after, you know, off into the sunset of life. We like the idea. Our natural physical, biological organism, our spiritual, you know, belief system, our psychology really thinks that's a cool idea. And so it is. But we enter the experience like the pilot, you know, like the guy bombing down the runway about to take off, but he's no skill set. He doesn't know how to, you might take off. You know, you can take off relatively easy with very little of a skill set. You can take the plane and get it off the ground, which is like to get married within reason. You know, the early days, the honeymoon phase, etc., etc. You don't have to have much of a tried and tested and proven skill set to get off the ground, to get married. There's lots of like that. Such a cool idea, beautiful idea, fresh love, all of that, you know, it's beautiful. We romanticize it and there's true love there, and you just think true love will take you all the way home, but it doesn't. The best attitude in the world going down that runway about to take off, I mean, you can just put the accelerator, you need to know two controls, push that lever forward, it gives you juice and propulsion all the way down, just pull back in the thing and you're airborne. You know, just have enough love and just get down on one knee and propose, and good intentions will take you so far. It'll get you off the ground in the airplane and it'll get you off the ground in marriage. But then, you know, 6 months in, 12 months in, 5 years in, 10 years in, it's down to your skill set. It's down to your trained capacity to navigate deep intimacy in the bedroom, the art of making love, the art of, you know, creating beautiful, sustainable attraction together in a long-term relationship that goes beyond the sort of biological. It's really easy in the beginning. Initial attraction is very easy. Long-term is like a major challenge without the skill set. But with the skill set, it's not such a challenge. Communication. How do you navigate conflict? How do you express, you know, when you say no, you know, like how do you express anger in a safe, conscious manner where you can verbally land a no to your woman, but she feels that she's still being honored and she's safe in your expression of that, that it's not aggressive. How do you do that? That's a skill set. Communication in general, it's a skill set. How do you meet tactfully in an artful way the three core needs of your woman to feel seen, to feel heard, and to feel safe? They're foundational needs that if you don't know, if you don't have the skill set and the knowledge base to meet those needs, you're going to be constantly like pissing against the wind in trying to create a beautiful marriage. just really slowing down at this point. You know, and then, you know, the tragedy is emotionally, because of the lone wolfing, because of the things I've mentioned, you know, complaining equals failure. I can't be the one man in society that like shows up and says, hey, I'm having issues here. You know, just like, I'll grind it out, put up, shut up and work harder on my marriage type mentality. Because we've learned that, we end up secretly beating the shit out of ourselves, shaming ourselves. You know, the inner critic goes to town on ourselves in the inside, because it's like, we're just not able for this. Man, you know, it's like, I love her. You know, there's so much love. There's so much love we have for this beautiful woman. And many times there's kids involved. And man, it's sacred territory. But, you know, the more love we have, the more we'll gnaw away at ourselves in the background. One client I had, he called it like, Mark, you know, in his first couple of sessions with me, he said, it's like a cancer. It's a confidence-eating cancer that's always in the background of my mind and my nervous system. I say, wow. But like he gave words in such emotive ways. It's like this confidence-eating cancer, this idea that his best was never going to be good enough in the face of all his the needs of his woman. He didn't know. He had so much love for her. Like, I remember that guy. But every guy I coach, so much love. But good intentions are not good enough. The phase, and the language came when I was doing this, is like, there's the pre-support noose. That in your consideration of it, I think, you know, if you want to go beyond it, it's a bit like the pilot. If you want to become a pilot, I mean, it becomes totally possible. You just go to pilot training school. There's like the 100, the 50, whatever it is, the 250 lessons, you know, mini steps forward. And as your skill set goes, you're more independent. And at some point, you're free to go. You get your license, off you go. Well done. You've arrived. Now, you know, okay, there can be fears for somebody reaching out for pilot school, but it's a bit more, you know, it's not so vulnerable in a sense. Doing deep emotional work in, you know, marriage as a husband showing up, this is like really vulnerable, because it's deeply emotional. It's like, you know, a guy before he enters it, he knows. I call it the pre-support noose, where when you have the first idea as a man of, man, maybe, you know, Mark has been talking about this marriage transformation heroes training and journey. Maybe it could be for me, or maybe coaching could be for me, or there's the pre-support noose, where the mere idea of reaching out for support, all of a sudden we have a bang of anxiety in our stomach. I remember having like really deep anxiety before fully committing to that coaching course. I remember having deep anxiety first time when I, you know, years ago when I got my first self-help book, I felt this anxiety of, fuck, I'm like this idea, am I failing as a man, and this anxiety attack type feeling that, man, just gaining support, asking for support. So the pre-support noose tightens and tightens. But what it goes to, and you can't know this till you get the far side, is it goes to what I call the sacred masculine sigh of relief. And that happens. Our masculine soul sighs relief when we return to a feeling that we are in control of our destiny. Think about that for a second. What if you had a feeling of absolute control of the destiny of you and your marriage and your love life together with your beautiful queen? Ah, you know, that sense of, man, you know, if you had full access to a proven system for creating predictable, consistent levels of connection and attraction in marriage long term, what sense of relief would that bring? You know, where you'd feel competent and confident and you'd be in the know. You'd have a sense of control, knowing, man, it's all down to you. And you'd have a game plan and coaching and accountability and full support. And I mean, hero husband status is yours for the taking. Think about that level. You know, in business, you know, we don't know, you know, it's like you could be in a disaster zone in your business, but it's when you get mentoring or you get the game plan or you get the sales script that finally is like, oh man, you know, finally, the way you've been doing it up until now, okay, it doesn't matter. You know, you're on a cliff edge in it, but it's like with this new tool or idea, there's a sense of control, and then you start getting initial results, and now you're hooked, and now your business recovers completely, and a year later you're making $1 million. Why? Because you implemented a change, and it's that sense of control. We don't need to rescue and transform the entire situation today, but we have this sacred masculine sigh of relief when we feel distinct progress today. The first sign in our nervous system where, oh, I'm getting back in control here. Wow, I just need to keep a sense of control and add to this skill set that brings this sense of control, and happily ever after comes from this. We don't, and the funny thing is, for your sigh of relief, you get yourself into a sense of control. Your woman doesn't need perfection from you today. She doesn't need perfection from you ever. All she needs is a feeling that you're stepping up in presence and you're making steps of progress. That cracks open your woman's heart so quickly, so quickly. Yet in all of this, you know, and I've been talking a couple of sessions here, like honoring you guys that have been listening in. And by the way, shout out, there's some powerful men listening in with their powerful queens. I've heard that, I've had messages in, and like kudos to you. I might speak to that exact dynamic at a later date, but like kudos to you. So high honoring to you beautiful, amazing couples listening in. And if there's some women listening in by themselves because they're curious to know a bit more, high honoring to you too. If there's some lone wolf skepticism, you know, my question is there some skeptical part of you that doesn't really know or doesn't really trust this whole idea of getting support still? The idea of, you know, signing up to the Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023. Well, that skepticism, I honor it. And I say good, kudos to you. Because that skeptical part is the part of your psyche that, you know, learn not to take bullshit when you were younger, and learn not to open the underbelly of yourself up to, you know, the first opportunity, because you've learned that you need to be skeptical to protect yourself. So skepticism is sacred. But as a result of knowing my own skepticism and every guy that has come to me for one-on-one coaching, there's massive levels of skepticism. Actually, I don't know one guy that has signed up for me for one-on-one coaching that has not had real major levels of skepticism. And part of the coaching thing was supporting him making a powerful decision for him. So skepticism is brilliant, it's beautiful. But skepticism, it's not so brilliant when it, you know, navigates our whole life. It dominates. Skepticism cannot just be the complete CEO, but it's sacred in and of itself. And this is why I speak about our total trust agreement. And by the way, this total trust agreement, this is part of like my behind the scenes mission statement with the podcast. As you're listening to it, it's the total trust agreement for my coaching approach. It's the total trust agreement to the Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023. But it's also the essence of how I show up with you all and communicate with you all in the podcast. But it's important so that you understand that there are definite agreements here to support the creation of total trust, so that you can feel safe entering and even considering this experience. The hero agreement, I find this really important, really important. You know, the aim is to create heroes, not followers. You are always the hero of your story. You know, I don't want any of you listening in going, oh, you know, I don't want to create some element, oh, Mark's the fucking guru, Mark's the leader of this, Mark's, he's the expert, and there's me. You know, that's the leader follower. And there's lots of marketing stuff I've seen out there where it's like this thing of you have to be absolutely on the ball, you have to speak with absolute certainty all the time, and that's it. That's when they will follow you. I'm like, man, well, if that works marketing-wise, fuck, I don't want to create that sort of a feeling. I don't want you to feel like I'm the shit and you're like dragging your ass to follow. It's like, man, I'm human. I'm really human. I've got faults. I've got, you know, I've major challenges emotionally in my own life and work and marriage. But it's like just having the humility to show up. Am I progressing? Like, hell yeah. Do I have things that I can, you know, guide you on and teach you on? Yes. But the aim is to create heroes. Never to have you as a follower. Because, yeah, there's an egoic trip that men go on when they start being the whole, like, I'm the leader type shit. No, I just want to speak to this. That's why there's the hero agreement. You're never going to be a follower. You are, everything is that's going to be done in this course, in the Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023, is always, you're the hero of your story. You're the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Proven strategies agreement. There's no hippie hype theory. This is like, there's only no bullshit strategies proven in the arena of intense marriages. And intense marriages are good marriages. Dead marriages are quite challenging. You know, it's like, but it, like, no matter what, if it's intense, and maybe the intensity is because it's stagnant, you know, there's an intensity in that. No matter what, it's no bullshit strategies. They're proven strategies. It's not airy fairy, oh, you just have to feel love, man, and oh, just forgive her for that. And there's just tons of shit out there that just doesn't work. You know, there's none of that. Proven strategies only. It's a proven system. The third one, zero shame agreement. You know, what I would call, you know, humorously and spaciously and lovingly, marriage up shit creek ground zero starting points are perfect. I love, you know, nothing more supporting guys where they don't know, like, it feels like the last chance saloon, and like starting from there, it's amazing, because actually the only way is up, and there's a massive benefit in that. In some ways, there's like an infinite level of improvements available. But this zero shame agreement is like, you're never going to be judged. You're going to be in an arena with other guys that the whole game is that, like, is to focus on progress. Confidence building, hyper focus on what makes you progress is the only aim. Zero shame, zero commentary, zero judgment. And it's hyper focus on just like finding your step of progress, and your confidence will only build. So the skepticism, it's sacred, but there's a total trust agreement in place, because I know when I entered this work, there was like a total trust agreement in my coaching journey that not only made it safe for me. I knew when I read the agreement in that, the list of agreements, that I feel safe going in with this bunch of men, with these guys that were facilitating the program. But I felt safe with all the other guys. It's like, oh, if every guy, if that's the agreement and everybody enters into that like that, I'm safe. I'm going to feel progress. And it played out like that. I had massive skepticism and fears going in, and anxieties about opening myself up in front of the facilitators, the coaches, and the other guys. It all worked out beautifully. So that trust agreement is there to make sure, you know, and every guy that's going to be entering into this experience together, that, you know, you're totally safe. The call to action to you in this is like, just join the waiting list for Marriage Transformation Heroes. There's the link in this podcast episode. I said last week, you know, it's like, there's 15% off the launch price, and you get front of you access to the only program that's going to be this year. It costs nothing. You're going to be front of access, you know, front of queue access to like the details when it launches. Just take that step. You know, it's that first humble, courageous step. And imagine the sigh of relief and the sense of control from finally having a full proven system to create connection and attraction with your woman. I mean, you're in the pilot seat. You're the captain of your ship type thing. And unapologetically, I do put it forward. It's like, just quit risking divorce and all the financial and emotional pain that it brings in over 50% of marriages. And again, don't risk being one of the many who remain in marriage out of loyalty, only to live together unhappily ever after. The vast majority of the ones that don't divorce live unhappily together ever after. Unhappily ever after. You know, Marriage Transformation Heroes 2023 is about you going from fearing your best will never be enough to becoming the confident and competent marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Nothing else matters. The invitation, as I say, is join the waitlist now, get those beautiful benefits, and have it as potentially one of the most life-transforming, marriage-transforming decisions you've ever made. As I say, you know, it's like every guy that has went on to create something epic in his life, there's one bridge that he went over, and it's at the core of every super successful businessman, sportsman, man in marriage, man who, you know, overcomes, creates epic health transformation. No matter what the transformation was, at the core of it is overcoming that number one obstacle, which is lone wolfing and going it alone. Going over that bridge, and when you get explicit support from guys that are a little bit further along the path, that are in the know, that can train you, mentor you, support you, coach you, guide you, that's the number one most life-transforming step you can take. My invitation for those of you that are feeling inspired by it, that feel that 2023 is your year to shine in marriage and intimacy in your sex life and beyond, the invitation is join the waitlist today. With great love, great appreciation for all of you listening in, placing your time and attention on this sacred, sacred topic. And why do we do it? Because in this incredible, purposeful, amazing, evolving, expanding movement spreading quickly around the world, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day.